If you're truly saved in Christ, you can't go, wow, I'm saved in my hope, and then stay where you are, or actually go backwards. That's impossible. If you're saved in Christ and hope is your destination, you must be drawn toward that. This is called holiness. When you move towards hope, you are walking along the highway of holiness. Now, you might get sidetracked every now and then. That happens. But ultimately, you are going in the direction of where God has called you to be.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're so thankful that you have joined us here today. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and with me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. We're in the middle of a series we're calling Hope and Holiness. We've been walking through some amazing truths in the book of 1 Peter and seeing how powerfully impacted we can be as God's Word speaks into our lives. And today's message is a hugely important message for the life of the church. Isn't that right, Robbie? It's all about leadership.
Yeah, leadership. As the leaders go, so goes the church. And we just want to extend just a thankfulness to all of you who are listening right now on these topics through 1 Peter, trusting you're so blessed as God's Word moves you from various topic to various topic. And today we see, what does it look like to have a church filled and led with godly leaders? The answer is, it looks like a good thing. It's an exciting thing. And again, the Lord brings this up in His Holy Spirit-inspired and inerrant Word for very specific purposes, to teach us, to help us to pray for our leaders, but to guide us in saying, what is a church supposed to look like that has elders in it with a godly sense and a love for Christ and a true humility? Well, that's what the text says today. So maybe this is such a great passage for you to pray for the leaders that are above you, or pray for future ones that God is going to raise up. But whatever it is, pray God uses it powerfully within your life, your church, your family, and ours as well. We love you here at Living the Light. We're thankful for all your support and all that God is doing here and now. Bless you this day.
Well, amen to that. And let's go right away to God's Word for us. And again, here's Pastor Robbie, 1 Peter chapter 5.
All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, Lord willing, we have two messages left in our 1 Peter series. I said Lord willing, okay? So I said Lord willing, you never know what's going to happen, all right? Now, as we near the end of 1 Peter, it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? It's been quite a journey, and as much as ever, I have found that it seems in the last month or two that wherever we are in 1 Peter, it seems we are as a church, you know? So I'm kind of like this as I look at the text, you know, oh, more suffering, you know, that kind of thing. But that's kind of where we've been. That's what's been happening. God's been using that in very glorious ways. And as I look ahead to today, I think that's true as well. As I look ahead to the passage that is to come, I'm hoping at this point that it's going to line up. Maybe not so much the part about the devil prowling around like a roaring lion, but that's definitely happened as well, whatever. But look at verse 10. Look at chapter 5, verse 10. I'm like, please, Lord, may our church line up with this verse as well. It says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, amen, yes, Lord, please upon our church, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen, church, amen. May we line up with that text when we get there as well. I'm longing that would be the case. And just to point out, it's been such an exciting time. It's been so hard as well, but with such faith of what God has done, is doing, and will do within our church. And here we are in 1 Peter 5 today, and He has a message for us that He has determined again for this day and this weekend. So 1 Peter 5, as we start this, we recognize that thus far, Peter has been speaking to the church as a whole, right? He's addressing the whole church. He's addressing the church on themes of hope. That's the main issue of our whole series. That's why our series is called Hope and Holiness. Hope is everywhere in 1 Peter. As a believer in Jesus Christ, when you are saved in Christ, you are called to hope. Hope is glory. Hope is heaven. Hope is the understanding that we are saved, fully perfected, no more sin. That's the reality when Christ returns. And here's what Peter Peter has taught us, the Holy Spirit has taught us, if hope is your destination, you must begin to move towards the destination. If you're truly saved in Christ, you can't go, wow, I'm saved in my hope, and then stay where you are, or actually go backwards. That's impossible. If you're saved in Christ and hope is your destination, you must be drawn toward that. This is called holiness. When you move towards hope, you are walking along the highway of holiness. Now, you might get sidetracked every now and then. That happens. But ultimately, you are going in the direction of where God has called you to be. These are the themes that Peter has been addressing to the entire church. And maybe it's helpful to put it this way. Imagine the churches as this letter is read, because it would have been. This letter would have been read. And imagine the whole church sitting down and listening. Imagine older men and older women and younger men and younger women and even children and all different kind of backgrounds. They're all sitting there listening to this message. And that's how it would have happened. And at times, Peter, he's speaking to the whole church, hope and holiness. But at times, he breaks down into specific groups. And everyone's listening. But in the presence of all, he's like, hey, you who are employees, listen up. And you who are employers, listen up. I got some words for you, but I want everyone to hear it at the same time. And then he'll address the wives in the room. And so all the church is listening, even the kids. And the wives are there, and they're exhorted. And just when the husbands think they're getting off easy, Peter's like, not so fast. And then he turns and he addresses the husbands and say, I got a word for you too. But everyone's listening, so the church can kind of stand in fear. And then he breaks out again, and he goes into a general call for urgency in the midst of suffering. The end of all things is at hand. Life is guaranteed to be hard. The fiery trial will be under you. And everyone is listening to this letter being read. And then our passage today, he once again deals with a specific group of people, a critical group of people within the church. And as everyone is listening, and as everyone is there, Peter now chooses to address the elders of the church, the leaders of the church. Now, why is this so important? Why address elders in this way? Here's the fundamental reason why. Because as the leaders of the church go, so the church goes. As the leaders go, loved ones, the church goes as well. And Peter, notice in the context. Now, when you're studying scripture, context is so important. If you want to get the full meaning of the text, you got to know what comes before the text, what comes after the text, to understand really the text that you're looking at in its richest meaning. The context of the passage on elders follows the passage on expect fiery trials. That suffering's going to come, and trusting your souls to a faithful creator. That is the preceding verses of our passage today. And so we got to remember that in the height of fiery trials will come to test you, Peter now says, but elders, listen up. Because elders are never more important when the trial hits the church. The elders will truly prove, the leaders will truly prove who they are to be when the strain is most upon the church. How the leaders react within the trial itself will determine so much as to the direction and the health of the church. And of course, the Holy Spirit knows this perfectly. The Holy Spirit knows that he wrote this book through Peter, and he knows, he talks about fiery trial. Now he says, listen, leaders, elders, listen. Listen, it's vital who you are then in the midst of the trial when it hits the church. It's vital that you rely on the Lord in the midst of seeking the direction and health of the church. And because the Holy Spirit knows this perfectly, that's why today then, in our context, our sermon title is this, Hope, Holiness, and Elders. Hope, Holiness, and Elders. So again, just as this letter was read to the entire church for the benefit of all, we are the same today. Listen, I'm fully aware that the vast majority of you are not elders or leaders within our church. But just as this letter was read and everyone listened to understand, the reality is there are some who will be leaders in the future within this church or some other church. The reality is there are some of you who are called to pray so specifically for the elders and leaders of this church. The reality is if you hear from God, this is in God's word, you must care very much about this text because it does affect you if you desire to grow in Jesus Christ. What do we hear today? We hear this. We hear, why are elders and leaders so important in the church? We hear this. What are elders to do in the church? That's very important. We hear, why does this impact my place or my life within this church? You have to know how this text relates to you. And finally, we learn, why should I love, pray, and support the elders of the church that I belong to? And the fundamental reason is this: if you care about your health and your place in this church, and you understand God's design for the church, then you will care about the leaders of your church. You cannot be separated from the fact of where the leaders go. They are taking the church with them under the direction of Jesus Christ, we pray. If you care about your place and your health in this church, then you will care about the leadership of this church as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Check it out. So I exhort the elders among you, Peter says, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Here it is. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, glorious, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. First half of verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. What do we do today? We have three facts that you need to be both, one, aware of, and you need to care about as it pertains to elders. Three things, three facts pertaining to elders in this passage that if you care about this church, you want to be aware of them, and you need to care again about the content of these facts. Here's the first one. It's this. We'll call it this, the importance of elders. You need to care about the importance of elders. Again, look at verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. The very mention, loved ones, of the word elders here says so much as to God's design for the leadership of God's church. Please notice here too, please notice that Peter refers to himself as fellow elder. Now in chapter 1, verse 1, he calls himself an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he is. But notice here in chapter 5, verse 1, now he brings himself to the level of the other elders, and he says, I am a fellow elder. Now, that's a far cry from calling himself the Pope, isn't it? Fair enough, right? I'm being serious right now, right? He's placing himself as in the plurality of the elders within the church. He is not elevating himself to some level that no one can touch. Always remember in the church and when you're choosing to follow leaders, always remember this. Look right here, loved ones, it's so important. Ready? The best of men are men at best. The best of men are men at best. Every man has feet of clay. Please, please do not put your hope in some radio personality or some guy on TV or some author that you love. And please never put your hope in some guy other than Jesus Christ. Do not put your hope in me. I will let you down every time. The only thing I can do is go for Jesus Christ. And the only time I want you to follow me is when I'm following him. But ultimately, if you trust in man, they will let you down. Unless you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And Peter is right now saying, I'm a fellow elder. I'm just trying to go for Jesus Christ too, as we all are called to. That's the strength of a leadership of the church. They're not saying, follow me. They're saying, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. There's only one who is perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. The word elders here is frequently used within the New Testament to refer to those in leadership positions within the church. The church in Jerusalem had elders, 7 references to this in the book of Acts. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in their churches on their first missionary journey. When leaders visited Paul from Ephesus in Acts 20, they were called elders. In James 5, the person who is sick is commanded and asked to summon the elders that they might come and pray for them. The pastoral epistles in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus demonstrate that elders functioned in Ephesus and were appointed in Crete. Tom Schreiner says this. He says, every piece of evidence we have shows that elders were widespread in the early church. Elders are mentioned by Luke, Peter, Paul, and James. Elders were also found in the wide region of the Greco-Roman world, including Jerusalem, Palestine, Asia Minor, and Crete. And all indications point to a plurality of elders in the churches because the term is always used in the plural when it's used in the New Testament. All that to say this, it's impossible to do a study of the New Testament and not conclude that elders carry a tremendous importance within the leadership of God's church. And listen, this is not by the design of man, it is by the design of of God. That's why we must care. Apparently, elders are important to God, and therefore elders and leaders must be important to us within the church as well. So, a church without biblically functioning elders is a church that is not functioning biblically. A church without biblically functioning elders is not a church that is functioning biblically. And notice what Peter does next in verse 1. He says, I'm a fellow elder with you. He says, I'm also a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Notice again, Peter identifies himself or refers to the sufferings of Christ, holiness, and he also refers to the glory that will be revealed, hope. Peter here is understanding to be a true elder within the church. And in this context, we find out, why is this so important that Peter, why does he address the sufferings of Christ and the glory to be revealed? Because he understands a true and effective elder must come to grips with the reality, listen, of suffering and of glory. The true elder, the true leader in God's church has got to understand this isn't a cakewalk. This isn't going to be easy. This isn't all roses. This is going to be hard. The reality of the example of Christ in suffering, but the greater reality of why we actually live, seeking first the kingdom of God and the glory that will be revealed when he appears, that we live for then, which then impacts our now. See, this is why eldering is so important. It's so serious. The eldering cannot be a popularity contest. The elders of the church, no, that guy, you know, he's a nice guy, or that guy's great in business, or that guy, just everyone seems to like him. That doesn't make him an elder. The elders are men tested by the qualifications of Scripture, who have been identified as someone leading, not perfect, amen, but someone who's pursuing the one who is perfect, who will lean on the Lord, who will withstand and not fall apart under the fiery trial. Again, right in our context for our text. Within the fiery trial, they must stand strong, lean on the Lord, and find the courage to continue to follow him, even when things appear to be unstable. This is why eldering the church can never be some fluffy committee who meet once a quarter and all they really do is talk about church business. That's not eldering. Eldering primarily being a spiritual shepherd in the love of God for the cause of Christ. And again, when the strain of the trial hits the church, this shows more than anything else what the leadership is made of within that church. And this is why elders then are so important. There's an expectation of suffering, but there's also a greater expectation of glory. And why are leaders so important? Because they set the tone for the rest of the church. They set the tone of not fear, but faith. They set the tone for not control, but surrender. They set the tone for not comfort, but courage. And again, as this is being said, the entire church is listening, just like ours is right now. And everyone should hear this. For those of you who aspire to leadership at some point, for those children wanting to pray for their parents, for the grandparents seeking to pray for children, for the people who are wanting to understand what does it mean to walk in godliness, this all applies to you as well, as we all want to be like this in some way within our lives. To understand the gravity and the weight of God's design for leadership within the church, the importance of elders. And here's the second thing we see within our text is this, the calling of elders. What are elders to do? This explains the calling of elders. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says this, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. See these verses right here? That's the calling of the elders for the church. Notice in verse 1, though, Peter says, I exhort the elders among you. Exhort here is literally to come alongside, or it's to encourage someone in a specific direction. Peter says, hey, elders, listen up, man, listen up. And to the whole church is listening, he says, I'm encouraging you to go in this specific direction. And in verse 2, the exhortation begins, the encouragement begins. Can you see it there? In verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God. The primary function of the elder within the church is to shepherd the flock of God. And it's no accident here that the verb for shepherd is the same verb that Jesus used with Peter in John 21. Remember in John chapter 21, when Jesus told Peter, he was commissioning Peter specifically, he said, Peter, tend my sheep. That literally is, Peter, shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. So the spiritual shepherd then has a job that operates in two main ways. If you are to shepherd the sheep of God, there's two things you must do. Number one, the shepherd spiritually is to feed the sheep of God. Is to feed the sheep of God. Twice in John 21, Jesus says to Peter, hey, Peter, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus isn't talking about groceries, loved ones. You understand that, right? He's not like, go to the corner store and get some nice food and give it to the disciples, whatever. He's talking about the word of God. He's talking about the gospel. The single greatest thing a spiritual shepherd does before anything else will be to feed the sheep. Why? Because what happens to sheep if a shepherd doesn't feed them? They die, yes. If the people of God are not fed the gospel and the word of God, they die. That's why this passage, even right now, in some ways you would not choose to come up with verses 1-4 from 1 Peter 5 because you're like, well, don't they just talk to a few people? No, no, no. You're trusting in the Lord's wisdom that he wrote this book, not some other person, and he knows what's best. And today, this is best for our church, to feed them the word of God, to feed them the gospel of God. Why? That we may not die. And this is why so many segments of the church in our nation are dying because the word of God is not being fed to them. It's something else other than what God has chosen. As if you do that, the people will die. It's that simple. It's that important. The spiritual shepherd's primary role above anything else is to feed the sheep the gospel and the word of God so that the people of God do not die. He is to feed them, but the spiritual shepherd is to care for them, is to protect them, is to nurture them as well. All throughout verses 1-10, Jesus is embedded within all these verses. The call for humility, the shepherd ultimately is patterned after the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Everything we see here of the perseverance and the fight against pride and this exercising oversight, but with humility and love and gentleness, it's all patterned after Jesus. Why is that important? Because the shepherd cares for the sheep, his greatest desire is to do it in the heart and example of Jesus Christ. He desires for the sheep to follow him again as he follows Jesus Christ. Peter also says this, notice he says, shepherd the flock of God. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Whose flock? God's flock. Whose sheep? Jesus' sheep. How beautiful it is to think right now, if you are saved in Jesus Christ, you are God's sheep. You belong to God. You are God's treasure. You have been called and found by him, and he will keep you forever. You do not belong to some man. You do not belong to some specific church. You belong to God himself. And that is why then, if it's God's flock, if it's Jesus' sheep, we say sometimes, my church. I get worse. I say that too sometimes, my church. But technically, the right theology is, it's God's church. It's Jesus' sheep. So then we belong to God's church in Harvest Oakville. But let's be very clear, the Lord owns all. And if you're in Jesus Christ, the Lord, he owns you and he owns me. Praise the Lord. And you are his. You are his. And he is ours, as the hymn says. That is amazing. So the elders, when they understand this, it humbles them. They are never arrogant then. They are never over-controlling because they know they own nothing. They do not abuse their authority because it's not theirs to abuse. Notice what Peter says in verse 2 next. He says, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. So Peter now introduces the word oversight, which comes from the Greek word episkopos, which is where the Episcopalian church derives from. Episkopos literally means overseer. This is a cool teaching moment right here. Peter has used three terms that relate to elders in our text already. Can you see them? Can you see them? He has used three terms that relate to elder. He has used elder, he has used shepherd, and now he uses overseer. Overseer, again, episkopos in the Greek. In Latin, it's supervisus. And in English, this is where we get our word for supervisor, superintend, to have direction and guidance over a group of people. The elder is to be elder. He is to be overseer. He is to be shepherd. Here are three words that describe the role of an elder. All right. Now, listen, these aren't three offices. We don't have elders and overseers and shepherds. These are three terms describing one office of elder. And here's how the Bible distinguishes these, and they happen to all be in our text right here today. It's a great study of God's word. The elder, when the Bible talks about the term elder, it's emphasizing the spiritual maturity that is needed for ministry. This is why 1 Timothy 3 says you don't lay hands on someone who's a recent convert because they'll get puffed up and conceited. They don't have the maturity to handle the weight of responsibility. The elder refers to the spiritual maturity, the age of experience in the walk with Jesus Christ. Overseer, as we just said, points to the oversight of the church, the direction that is to be provided from the elders to the local church. And finally, shepherd, which by the way, pastor is very seldom used in the New Testament. Shepherd is by far the term that's used the most in our text today as we see. This, though, shepherding the church focuses on the feeding, as we've explained, and the caring and the protection for the church. But again, not three offices, one office, three words to describe the call of the elders within the church of Jesus Christ. And notice this also in our text, such a great text, understanding leadership in the church. Notice two things in verse 2. Notice the elders are to be among the sheep, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, but also notice the elders are to be over the sheep, exercising oversight. So I love this so much. It's not good enough for the elder just to be over the sheep as an authoritarian, which can happen, sadly, a lot. And they abuse the control, they come over the sheep, they take their oversight, and they become harsh with the sheep. That should never happen. No, the biblical elder, we say around here, the biblical elder must smell like sheep, right? As bad as the sheep sometimes smell, right? As we all smell that way sometimes. But the elder is a sheep, right? God's sheep. And so the elder must smell like sheep, to be among the sheep. But at the same time, it's not good enough that the elder sitting there just giving high fives to all the sheep and never does any leading. It's like the parents who want to be best friends with their kids but never actually guide them anywhere. That's not helping them. Oh, I'm good friends with my kid. Well, that's good for you, but at the end of the day, you got a parent, right? And so the elders in the church, at the end of the day, you want to love the sheep and care for them, but you got to lead the sheep as well. That's part of loving them. So let's put it this way. The true elder will love the sheep and lead the sheep. The true pastor who's responsible for preaching will preach to the sheep, yes, but will pastor the sheep as well. Will love them and lead them. The true elder will encourage the sheep, yes, but will also counsel the sheep. He's to be among them and over them in love, but understanding there's grace and there needs to be truth as well. Peter then says this next in the text, says, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Now, why is this so important? He says, not under compulsion. The reason this is so important is because true eldering, listen, true eldering is really hard. Like if you're really going to go for Jesus Christ, true eldering is really, really hard. You know, interestingly, I sat beside a friend this week who is an elder at a different church. He's a great man. He's a great elder as far as I can understand. And he sat down to me this week and he said, hey, Robbie, I just finished my last day in my term as an elder in my church. He says, I'm free. Now, he was joking. And he's a good man, he's a good elder, but I get his joke. Because what he's pointing to is the weight of responsibility that it takes if you're really going to go after it for Jesus Christ in the church and carry the load of God's people upon them. And I also heard recently a story of a young boy who was watching his dad, who was an elder many years ago, but a story of a boy watching his dad leave for elder meetings each week. And apparently, as he went out the door of his house, his dad was not very happy, was not in a good mood. And walked out and was kind of begrudgingly going to the church to be an elder. And finally, the boy looked up at his mom and said, Mom, why does dad keep doing something he hates so much? And what's that saying? In a sense, what Peter's advising here is you can't do the elder role under compulsion. It can't be because you have to. There must be a willingness as God would have you.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light. I wanna be in the light as you are.